4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And then last of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for every meal. Thank you for the place that you've given all of us to stay. We appreciate tonight. We ate Mark's Feed Store barbecue, baked beans, potato salad. Somebody brought a banana, kind of a something or other cake. I'm knowing what all that was, but good stuff, I'm telling you. And we ate good. We've been eating good ever since Saturday night. So we appreciate what the church is doing for us. You know, when we go, we hope to be a blessing to you, but it's always turned around, and the church is always a blessing to us. And Karen and I have experienced the blessings from this church for many, many times, and we sure appreciate all you do for us. And you have a wonderful place in our hearts. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I want to preach this evening on this thought, Paul's perspective of missions in the last days. Paul's perspective of missions in the last days. And as he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he's writing this letter to this young man, but it goes way beyond Timothy. It goes way beyond Paul's life. It goes way beyond Timothy's life. And can you imagine tonight? I don't know. Paul didn't know when the Lord was coming back. I believed he lived in the days of when the Lord was going to come back. He lived that kind of a life. And so I don't know when he's going to come back. You don't either. But I believe, as I see things happening around this world, I believe it's going to be soon. I believe that everybody, unless something happens to one of us, but I believe, naturally speaking, if we live our natural life, I believe everyone in this room will most likely be here when the Lord comes back. I believe it's that close. And so with that in our hearts and our minds tonight, I look today. I've seen something up there, and I don't know when this was put up there. I don't know if it's part of the decoration for the meeting, or if it's something that's been put up there for a long time, and you know it's there. But I have saw something up there, but I didn't realize what it was until tonight, as I was sitting over here and I got a good angle at it, and I realized that is an hourglass. An hourglass. I thought about, even though I have not noticed it, haven't paid any attention to it, but you know what? The hourglass just keeps on, the sand keeps going through, going through. That's the way life is. Our life is just that way. We don't pay any attention to the time. We don't pay any attention to the days as they go by, but they are swiftly passing by. And so we have a time to serve God, and our time is now. We don't have hope of tomorrow. Our time is now. So if you're able, would you stand with me as we read the first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Now, I will say that you will usually hear this passage of Scripture either read or preached at the ordination of a preacher. And it's a matter of fact, the word is in here, it's a charge for a preacher. But when I read these verses of Scripture, I see so much more than just a charge to a preacher, but some words that are for us tonight as God's people. Because like they said, you know, not just our sins were recorded there, and not just our name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I believe that one day we're going to stand before God about this week. I think we're going to stand before God about this moment, about the decisions we make this week, about what we do with this service tonight. We're going to stand before God, and so often Dean Hamby has flippantly gone into a church service or sat through the preaching and gone through so much of my life flippantly, not even thinking about one day I'm going to stand before God with this, of how I have reacted, how I have made decisions just off the cuff and lived my life so in such a way that, made a lot of mistakes. And so tonight, I hope God will help us all. So would you look with me as we read these verses of Scripture? Paul's words to his son in the faith, Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. In that one verse of Scripture, we have those resurrections where the saints are going to be caught up and he's going to judge the saints. That's the quick. And we also have in that one verse of Scripture where he's going to judge the lost, the dead, at his kingdom. And so there's going to be a judgment time. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this afternoon, we thank you for the wonderful day you've given to us. And we thank you for bringing everyone that's here tonight. Before we ever met together, you already knew who would be here. Our hearts are before you open because whether we try to hide them or not, you know what's in our hearts. But I ask you tonight that we would freely, freely say, Lord, search our hearts. Search us. Help us to be the people of God you would have us to be, to live for God, to be faithful, to serve you, to be in this world a light that shines before men. Father, because our time is short, whether the Lord comes back before we die or not, our time is so brief as a vapor, and we don't have much time. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to redeem the time and help this church, Father, as long as this church would stand, to stand true to the things of God and to help reach the world with the gospel. So have your way, we pray tonight in this message and in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to share with you quickly tonight three thoughts that I find in these verses of Scripture, along not only the ones that I read, but throughout these verses and throughout the chapter. I believe that the book of 2 Timothy, I believe it really is Paul's life as he's getting ready to face death. I believe he is sharing in each of these four chapters his life and what his life was before the Lord, and I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But I believe that this last chapter, the theme of this last chapter is what he tells us in these verses of Scripture on down below us, is finishing our course with God. Now, we're all one way or the other. We're going to finish our course one way or the other, but finishing our course with God, that means not only to be saved by the grace of God, but it also means to be living for God, living in the will of God. Living in such a way that when he comes back, we can hear him say, well done. Living in such a way that we will not be ashamed, as the Word of God tells us, be ashamed before him at his coming. And so I believe that one of the things that we can have in our hearts and minds is have what we have in these words that Paul has penned down, that we can have also this perspective of what missions is like in these last days. Because I will tell you, missions has never been easy. This is the work of God, and the devil and the world has always fought against the things of God. But I will also tell you, as I read these verses of Scripture, that in the last days, it is going to be, as the Word of God says in chapter number 3, it says perilous times. And I've looked at Paul and his life, and I've looked at all the things he went through, the beatings, the shipwreck, stoned to death, all the things that he endured. But yet he says that it is going to be so unparalleled in the last days that it is going to exceed anything that we could ever imagine. I believe that the problems, the situations that are coming in the last days are going to be multiplied and magnified. We're living in a day where the world is connected, immediately connected. And they'll be marching in the streets in America at the same time as they're marching in the streets over in Iran, Iraq, and everywhere else in the world. I mean, it is an instantaneous situation that we're living in. When we lived in Africa, we didn't have everything that we have today, where we have the instantaneous stuff that's going on with television and radio and all this internet and all these things. Things were slower. We got our mail. It would take 4 to 6 weeks for us to get our mail. We didn't have Facebooks. We didn't have laptop computers and all the things and cell phones. There were no such thing as cell phones. All these things. But now everything's connected. And as we see the connection, we also know that sin and the depth and depravity of sin is reaching out, and its tentacles are just going into places that we never thought possible. I'm talking even in villages in Africa, people are walking around with a cell phone. Amazing, amazing. And things that are happening here, they know about it over there. We know what's going on. We know it over here. And so it is widespread, and it is a bad time. And so I want to share with you quickly three things. Number one, I'll talk about the pressures of missions in the last days. Pressures and missions in the last days. We have the word. A word of God tells us in chapter number 4, verse number 5. He uses these words. He says that they will not endure sound doctrine. The word in verse number 3, will not endure. That word endure, it means to not tolerate. In the day in which we live, I'm talking about worldwide, there is an anti-God, anti-church, anti-Christian, anti-Bible sentiment and spirit in the world. Along with that, there is now that intolerance. And I'm amazed that you see these on the back of these cars, a little bumper sticker has all of these symbols of these religions, you know, and it says coexist, you know. The only way they're going to coexist if in their own mind is get rid of God's people, and then we'll be able to coexist, because it's amazing to me that the Muslims and the this and the that and the other, they got no problem with each other, but you throw Jesus Christ in the mix, and by the way, he is the line in the sand. And by the way, this line is not distorted, it's not crooked, it is a line that is defined. This line, and they can talk about God and everything else in the world, but you name the name of Christ, he is despised. We are in that worldwide spread of this sentiment in the world. And so the pressures come, first of all, with the lost. He tells us, and I'm just going to barely touch on this, but he says in verse number 5 of chapter number 3, they have a form of godliness. Isn't that amazing? A form of godliness. You see the news and see all these things, and everybody, they're all, we're a Christian, and we're a Christian, and we're a Christian. But then you get to listening to the filth that comes out of their mouths and the lifestyles they live and everything going on. You think, wait a second, what I got is not what they've got. Okay? A form of godliness. But you know what we find that happens in the last days all of a sudden now, because of this line that's drawn in the sand, we find that this mask of the form of religion is being ripped away with this thought of they will not endure sound doctrine, true doctrine, the preaching of what God said, not putting man's thoughts and opinions to twist it and make it appealing and make it feel good, but it is exactly what God said. It said that there's going to be a time that will come, and I believe we are there, when men have itching ears, they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. When I think about these false teachers who they call themselves pastors and all these places that they are, and let me tell you something. When I see that word heaped up, that means they're plentiful. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find them everywhere in the world. They are in great demand and they are in great supply. Listen to what I wrote down about this thing of itching ears. Itching ears of ungodly men can only be satisfied by empty words of an ungodly preacher, an ungodly teacher. The only way it can be satisfied, because you know what? The unregenerated man cannot stand the Word of God. Why? The Word of God exposes what we are. That's what happened to me the night the first time I understood conviction, what it was all about. It was the Word of God that did that. It wasn't man that did it. The Word of God did that. So the pressure, the problems of the lost, and they are not going to tolerate, because we stand against things that they promote. We stand against sin. And when you stand against sin, you're not going to be popular. Your church won't be popular. So there's a pressure. You knock on the door. And let me tell you something. It has always been difficult, as I've already said. But there is a sentiment. Let me tell you, when I was a kid, and I hate to say that, but when I was a kid, Vacation Bible School, I remember junior age kids, I would never have taken the name of the Lord in vain. When I was a kid, we didn't hear about things that children ought to hear about in regards to immorality. Didn't hear about things like that. But today, children know things that children ought not know. They use language that a child should never use. Children's hearts have become so hardened against the things of God when they used to be so tender and you could reach a child. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus, talks about little children. Today, little children have been abused. And that little children have been, their minds have been warped and twisted, so they don't know the truth anymore. It is so far removed from them that even the family is so twisted in all the beliefs of what a family is and everything that's going on. We're living in perilous times in the day in which we live, and we've got to understand that. But let me give you another one. Not only the peril problems of the lost, but also the problems with laborers. When I think about laborers, I think about laborers that go into the world. Listen, some statistics that have been around a long time. 90% of the world has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Most of the world has heard about somebody by the name of Jesus. Why? Because of all the communications that is available today. But most of the people in the world have never heard a clear presentation about who he is and what he did and why he did what he did. They haven't heard a clear presentation of what they are as a sinner before a holy God in heaven. They haven't heard the clear presentation of the gospel about it all. They heard, yeah, even the Muslims talk about Jesus that died. That's nothing new to most people in a lot of these religions. But the truth behind it, as the very God of heaven, Emmanuel, God with us, came into this world. Jesus wasn't created when he was born of the Virgin. He wasn't created. He always has been. He always will be. He is that Word that spoke everything into existence. He is that Word that is from all eternity. They don't understand that. Matter of fact, they reject that. And the Jesus of the others is not my Jesus. The God of the others is not my God. Whether he be Muslim or whatever, not my God, not my Jesus. He is the Son of God, the very God of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So most of the world has never heard a clear presentation. 75% of the world's preachers preach to about 5% of the world's population. Have you heard of the 1040 window? I'm sure you have heard of the 1040 window. The 1040 window is 10 degrees latitude up to 40 degrees latitude, and it stretches from North Africa all the way to Asia. They estimate that some 4 billion people live in the 1040 window. The main religions there are Hinduism, atheism, communism, and Islam. Those are the four main religions. They call it, this used to be called the Bible Belt in the South. They call that the Resistance Belt. Most of the countries, there are 69 countries in that 1040 window. Most of the countries are either closed or nearly closed. And I mean by that they are very, very difficult to get in. And you have to go in as a teacher. You have to go in as some of the thing. You can't go in as a missionary. This is the 1040 window. So here you have all these people groups in that 1040 window and just this one part of the world. This is the world. This is where the world we're living in tonight. And the depth of all the wickedness and sin in this world. Then I think about the labors in the United States. We have a missionary going to Spain. We have a missionary that's going to Colorado. So what about the missionaries here in the States? And what about what's going on in the States with our churches? It's estimated that 10% of the churches in America are flourishing. That means they are going forward. They are seeing people saved. Their churches are growing. It's estimated that 10% of the churches in America are maintaining. They're not getting any larger in attendance. They're just kind of holding their own. It's estimated that 80% of the churches in America are declining or dying. And I would put the emphasis on the latter, are dying here in America. Let me tell you, where we are today is where England used to be. That's where we are today, here in America. With all these preachers, can I talk about the preachers for just a second? Bible college preacher enrollment is shrinking. I think about Tennessee Temple when I went to school. You know why Tennessee Temple was established? It was established to train preachers. Crown College, it was established to train preachers. There wasn't anything else. To train preachers, preachers' wives. That's what it was for. Enrollment in most Bible colleges, the bigger ones, it's shrinking. It's shrinking. I think about how that preachers, there's more preachers in pews than there are in pulpits. Many are unwilling to move across country. Many are unwilling to move across the state. Many are unwilling to move across the city. I know that's true because I know a family that the wife was not even willing to move across the city for her husband to pastor a church. We are living there. We're in it. They're unwilling to take smaller churches. Many preachers are unwilling to be bivocational. That means to work a job to help support their family while they pastor a church. Many are unwilling to even consider missions at all. Doesn't even enter into their minds. This is the state of where we are and the pressure and the problems of missions in the last days. This is where we are. I believe God can use any country, any people God wants to use, but I believe that God has, in his divine providence and divine wisdom, has established the United States of America to be the last stronghold for the gospel around the world. We haven't existed because we're so smart. We're pretty dumb, actually. But it's because God's people in America, they support missions, missionaries. They spread the gospel. But it's dwindling. The light of America is slowly dying. And this is the state of where we are. But I'm not going to leave you on a bad note. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you two of my last points. There are some promises that I find in these verses of Scripture. And can I tell you, they're promises that we can claim even in spite of everything that's going on. Because you know what God is? God is an in spite of God. He saved me in spite of me. He blesses in spite of me. God does what God does in spite of all of us. And in spite of what all is going on in this world, I'm telling you right now, God can bless. God can bless. Let me give them really quick. I got a bunch here. Let me give them to you rapid fire. Here's some promises that are still true even today. That the parchments are still true. When you read in verse number 13 where Paul's telling Timothy to bring the parchments, do you know what's before that word parchments? There's a definite article, the. He didn't say bring a parchment. He said bring the parchments. And you know that word the, can I just read this real quick? This, a definite article, the, is a defining word. It defines a noun as one particular thing, or it identifies a noun which is already known. When Paul didn't have to spell out and explain to Timothy which parchments to bring, he already knew. Why? Because those were what Paul held on to as near and dear to his heart. What he was talking about there was the Word of God. And can I tell you, the Word of God is still true today. We don't have a counterfeit. We don't have an improvised. We don't have a watered down. We have the Word of God. Forever settled in heaven. Here's what I fear. If God can forever settle it up there, He can sure forever settle it down here. The Word of God. The Word of God. Second of all, preaching still works. Here's what He said. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. I know, ladies, you don't preach. Sometimes you do. I told the preacher last night, I said, if the Lord comes back, Karen's preaching tonight. And I told Mrs. Stanley, I said, you're going to introduce her. So, Karen, preach the Word. No, preach the Word. Preaching still works. Again, I like this. He said, preach the Word. You don't have to worry about what Paul's talking about when he's talking about the Word, the preaching of the Word. Listen, when he's talking about preaching, he's talking about exclusively Bible preaching, rightly divided preaching, God-honoring preaching, Spirit-filled preaching, soul-convicting preaching. He's talking about Bible preaching that pleads for the sinner, rebukes the rebellious, strengthens the weak, encourages... Whew, that's what this book can do. It encourages the discouraged. It lifts up the downtrodden. It heals the brokenhearted. It calms the troubled soul. This is that kind of preaching. And there's only one kind of preaching that Paul knew, and that's what Paul did, and that's what he told Timothy. Preach the Word. And that's what Timothy did. Can I tell you right now, we're living in last days when it's bad and hearts are hard as ever before. Can I tell you, God can still save people in the last days. He knew what preaching. The parchments are still true. Preaching still works. His presence is still with us. He tells the story of when he was in, as a matter of fact, he's in Rome when he's writing this letter, and he tells about where this event, where this journey began for his life. To get him to Rome. It began in Acts chapter number 23 when he goes down to Jerusalem. He's arrested because there's a bunch of lies told on him. And now he's under the hold of the Roman government. And when he was taken and they were going to kill him, not one Christian, not one deacon, not one apostle, not one church leader, not nobody showed up. He talks about that in Acts chapter number 23, verse number 11, where he says, the Lord came and stood by me. That's what he tells us here in this chapter, and I don't have time to read it. But can I tell you, his presence is still with us. The Holy Spirit of God hadn't left. Matter of fact, he ain't leaving till he takes us with him. I mean, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and his power is just as real. His work is just as true. Everything the Holy Spirit does and has ever done, he will do in us and through us. So, I'm glad his presence is still with us. That his provisions are still sufficient. Again, when he says bring the parchments, he talked about, he said bring the cloaks, He said, bring the cloak and the books. He had to have the books. We never had but one person ever come to see us when we were missionaries in Africa. But we've been to a lot of places to visit a lot of missionaries. And when they know we're coming, or when the family knows that we're going, you know, I say, hey, you mind taking this? And the missionaries say, do you mind bringing this? You know, and a half of our suitcases are things for the missionaries, you know, when we're traveling overseas. Paul didn't ask for anything but the parchments, the books, and the cloak. Just those few little items. And I thought, now, why was that? Let me tell you why. What I believe. This is a handy theology. I believe it's because God, even in that Roman prison, knew where Paul was, and he was taking care of the man of God. He got a visit at the jail cell one day. Here were some folks came over from Philippi. God, the gift of God's people was meeting his need. Also, I believe the grace of God was meeting his need. He tells us in Philippians chapter number 4, he said, I have learned. The grace of God was teaching him how to be content and how to do. And let me tell you something, God was already supplying. His provisions are still sufficient in everything that happens in his life. And then, can I tell you the fifth one? Paradise is still worth it. Just read it here. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paradise is still worth it. Now, let me give him my last point, and that's the praise. Now, what I'm talking about are the praises of the last days. The praises. Here's some praises, real quick, that some will still be preaching the word of God when the Lord comes back. Hallelujah for it. Not all preachers are compromisers. Not all preachers are throwing in the towel. There's still going to be some preachers preaching the word of God when he comes back. I like this. He says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and all those things. I like this. For a preacher, it's always fishing season. It's always in. Even when it's out of season, hunting and fishing season is always in for a preacher, wherever you are. Matter of fact, wherever the child of God is, it's always right to go hunting and fishing. It's always in season, even when it's out of season. Number two, that some will still report for duty. This word instant, when it says instant, in season, out of season, that means to be at arm's length. That's what this word literally means, to be at arm's length. It means to report for duty. That's what it means. Isaiah chapter number 6, that's what Isaiah was doing, reporting for duty. That some will still be reaching lost souls. There's some people that are still going to be a witness for the Lord, even when it is not popular, when it's not easy, they're still going to be witnessing. Connie Anderson, I may have told you this before, down in Haiti, and please pray for her. It is getting bad in Haiti. She is a widow on a mountain in Haiti with about 25 kids, and they have a church up there. She's not the pastor, they have a preacher, but she had to pay $20 for a half a gallon of gas to get the preacher from the church that was down below up to where she is, for a half a gallon of gas, so that the preacher could get up there and preach on Sunday morning. And a voodoo sorceress, a woman, got saved that morning in that service. Some are still going to be reaching people with the gospel. Can I tell you that some are still going to finish right? Not everybody's going to throw in the towel. God's people, not all God's. There's going to be a remnant when he comes back. And then last of all, that some will still become profitable. The story of John Mark, what a story. He quit on his first missionary journey. But here in these verses of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he tells Luke, he says, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable. You know what the word profitable means? It means easily used. God doesn't have to do a lot of hammering and beating and begging and prodding and pulling. Easily used. Here's what I say. If I will keep myself pliable like a lump of clay, pliable, God can easily form me into what God wants me to be. Those are promises and those are praises that we have in the last days. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And again tonight, you know, we're here this evening and God wants to use every one of us. God wants to use Lighthouse Baptist Church like never before. And God wants us all to be right where God wants us to be, serving the Lord in our local church. our giving, our going, everything through our local church to be pleasing to God. God blesses our efforts in the local church. And so I ask tonight that you would just ask the Lord to help you to be open to what God would have for you. Wherever it is, whatever it is, God would speak to your heart. Father, I pray now in this invitation time, would you please bless and have your way. Please be honored and glorified, and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Preacher.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to lead us in invitation. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, you can come talk to him about anything the Lord's working in your heart. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation.